What Office PC users can learn from the gaming community.
Transmitter 42.
Logan Huggins brings us up to speed with his latest thoughts on custom-built Windows PCs and how he addressed my request for a computer powerful enough to handle the real-time video streaming needs of OBS Studio and other video editing tools. Logan applies what he learned from computer optimization for his gaming pursuits to provide a powerful computer for my high-power office needs. Learn about this and more at Transmitter 42. Thank you for joining me, son.
Yeah, no problem. Just right off that big list, I think you expect much from this wrench jockey.
That's all right. So you've been in the computer gaming world for many, many years, and I'm sure your PC has evolved over the time, so you've kept a very close watch on the technology, and you've applied it to my latest PC. I have a question about gaming PCs. How many computers have you built for your needs over the years?
For me personally?
Correct.
Personally, well, three complete builds. I've swapped out parts within those every now and then, but as far as my personal computers, I have built a total of three.
Total of three over how many years? Quite a number, right?
Yeah, let's see. I built my first one on the floor of my dorm room in college, so that would have been 2014. So about a decade, I would suppose. And if you're curious, yes, that is about the only accomplishment I have from my college time.
So actually, PC innovation happens how often? I was going to ask. In your case, it's only about every 3 or 4 years. You've managed to get good performance out of a PC before you've started over again with new technology.
Yeah, there's no real need to buy new hardware every year. Most of it's just fake upgrades that they're trying to get you to buy a new thing, just like an iPhone. You don't need a new iPhone every year, but they want you to buy one.
Well, what stimulates the need to upgrade for you?
Well, just coming from a perspective of performance in gaming, and I don't stream or anything like that, usually, unless I'm just trying to show my friends something stupid that's happening in a game somewhere. But generally just performance in games. And when it starts to get to a point where graphics are needing a bit more horsepower to get you to where you need to be.
And by streaming, you mean live streaming of your actual gaming play? Is that how that works?
Yeah, not into that. It's a hobby for me. I don't want it to be a job.
Gotcha. So how has the gaming world driven PC performance? I know the video cards especially have been a big key thing about that, but what else, that and what else has gaming world given us?
Well, just like you said, and you alluded to it earlier in how your needs are met by this, I mean, really, it just ends up being cheaper components that are capable of what more people are needing to do. I mean, I'm sure you remember back in the day when, well, not even back in the day, but if you look at what the difference of a commercial and a professional graphics card is, we're talking thousands of dollars versus, you know, maybe a thousand if you're getting the top of the line thing on the commercial side. But you're easily going to spend $4,000 to $5,000 if you're getting a dedicated professional workstation. And that's just for one card.
And this card is designed for high-speed CAD computer-aided design needs for the engineers and designers of the world, correct?
That and, you know, yeah, high-end art design, stuff like that.
I've heard it said that gaming cards are fast but not necessarily accurate, whereas CAD cards are fast and precise in what they display. And I would imagine that once it gets to the screen, there's so little difference. What's the point?
Well, I mean, I can tell you that the computer that I used at work back when I had more of a desk job, I used CAD on it, and it wasn't something completely insane. It was maybe a $2,000 computer. which I would evaluate my current PC at maybe just a little bit over that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's delve into some of the subtopics of a computer. Let's deal with processors. We have the major players of AMD and Intel. Are there any others, or is that pretty much it?
That's pretty much it. You'll get some, I suppose if you wanted to, you could source some very weird stuff from the Chinese market, but if you want something that you know is going to work, yeah, those are the players we're working with here.
And do you have a personal preference?
No, I want everybody to, I want there to be good competition so that we are, that the consumer is actually getting two choices. And with AMD kind of coming back onto the scene in the higher end market for commercial CPUs, we're back at a point where you can really go either way, and they all have, and they, each of them have a niche for every level of what you need to do.
Now, my computer, I got an Intel, but I think that was mostly because I was preferring it. I can't remember if you suggested AMD or Intel for me. We went with Intel. Do you remember why?
Let's see. I don't quite remember the conversation, but I do believe that the Intel processor that we got for you was on sale at the time, and I think that was part of the reason.
That was true. A considerable sale. I'm imagining it was a...
it's like half off or something, right?
Yeah, I think it was getting to be replaced by a newer model, perhaps, something like one of those deals. And sure enough, I mean, it was a good deal. Okay, how about motherboards? What's the deal with motherboards? There's lots of those out there, correct?
Yeah, everybody and their mother has 3,000 different kinds of them. It's really one of those things that's getting a little ridiculous, to be honest. But
well, I think the biggest thing I saw in the advancement here was, well, first off, there's no external hard drives, and the storage basically plugs right into the board itself. The VME,
M.2 storage was a pretty big deal, in especially for people that like to build micro PCs, right? Like mini ITX builds and stuff like that. Becomes a whole hell of a lot more manageable if you don't have to deal with this giant 3.5-inch monster that you also have to shove in there somewhere. So having the storage on the board, and the fastest storage that we currently have at that, has been a pretty big player.
Yeah, I think you got me a 4 terabyte. You gave me some options, and just for a little bit more, you told me that it'll essentially operate at light speed. I was like, for $100 more, it was an easy choice. And it's fast.
Yeah, Samsung's really, in my opinion, the king of the crop when it comes to those, but those Western Digital Black NVMe drives are pretty toasty.
That's right. We got a Western Digital, didn't we?
That's correct.
Okay, cases. What would you get? What case did you get me? I can't even remember.
I'm not recalling off the top of my head either. It was a Thermaltake something, right?
Yes, he had said that they had come back from, I guess, a lull, and have done a really good job with their latest offerings, and that's what we got for my PC.
Yep. They had a rough run for a few years.
What happened?
Well, it's one of those situations where I think you have people designing something that has never actually been an end user of their product that they're selling. They would have supply fans that didn't go anywhere, and just general ease of build stuff that wasn't in there, cheap hardware, no cable management, stuff like that. It's the little stuff that you wouldn't think really matters, but when you're putting together something that, and especially like for me, if I'm building a computer for somebody else for some side money or whatever, I want to make sure that I can make it look good when the build is complete.
And so this latest offering, what compelled you to choose that for my build?
Well, I just kind of checked all the boxes, and I knew you also wanted to downsize a little bit.
Yeah, that previous box was quite a beast.
So, you know, like me personally, I'm a bit different because, yeah, we're getting all these things that allow you to get smaller cases and smaller builds. I like the big cases. It's fun for me.
Well, in my opinion, at some point you squeeze the case so much, you're starting to really push heat and other limits. And I wasn't going to go to something ridiculously small just because I wanted to not push that particular parameter. But yeah, the previous case was larger than it needed to be, although it would hold a lot of drives, which doesn't apply anymore since I don't need any external drives for this new thing. In fact,
there you go.
I couldn't put one in if I wanted to. That was a surprise that the new case doesn't even have the option for external drives.
Well, it does, but they get mounted on the back.
Oh,
like okay. on the side panel, not the one you look through, but the other side panel that comes off. There's mounting spaces in there. You can still put them.
For the 3.5-ers or?
For 2.5-inch, right.
2.5. So 3s and 5s need not apply.
Usually you can get a separate caddy that you can install somewhere depending on what case if you really want to do 3.5-inch drives. But yeah, for the most part, those have gone the way of the VHS and all of our other lost friends
beta.
From many years ago.
What about gaming-focused items? Forget about me, who is an engineer with CAD requirements. What is it that you would take, say, this PC that we built, and you made it just for gamers? Would you change anything?
Not really, no. I mean, it should hold up just fine to almost anything. I mean, I'd put maybe a tier-up graphics card in there like I have, but really what you have would be able to do 99% of what I'm playing anyway.
Is the biggest difference between an office PC and a gaming PC basically the video card?
Yeah, usually. I mean, that is really what's working the hardest at the end of the day for what you're trying to do. I mean, depending on the game, you might be more processor bound. Something like Minecraft isn't going to be heavily graphics card, but most things, especially these big cinematic, you know, multi-dimensional, 10-minute long cutscene monoliths we have these days,
mm-hmm.
especially, you know, lighting is the new thing that everybody's playing about with ray tracing and god rays and all this fun stuff. You're going to need a pretty beefy card.
Before we go to our first break, let's talk about monitors. I've seen gamers with one big monitor and some with smaller piecemeal monitors to basically create a seamless scene with multiple monitors. I guess the display cards that are all modern now can handle all of that. But which options would you choose and why?
I mean, I'm pretty simple. I have a single 31-inch 1440p monitor. I don't have any reason to upgrade from that.
Is that a 16:9 normal HD shaped monitor, or is it elongated?
It's 16:9. But it is curved.
Yeah, one of the things I noticed for my needs, I need a separate monitor just to run OBS Studio in its own views, so you can see what you're going to do next.
Well, yeah, and if you were doing some type of content creation, like, you know, Twitch streaming or on streaming on YouTube or something like that, you definitely need a separate display to run all of your alternate or your side programs, like, as you said, your OBS or whatever you're using to stream with.
Very cool. Is there a favorite brand name for monitors? They're all over the map now, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, like with everything else, everybody's got one. My last monitor was an HP. It was great. I have a Dell now. It seems to be doing just fine. But Samsung probably has the cream of the crop. But, you know, we're getting to a point where the differences are minimal.
Why'd you upgrade? Before we get a break, why'd you upgrade from one monitor to the next?
Well, I mean, I didn't really buy into the curved screen thing in the beginning, but I figured, hey, I'd go ahead and try it out, and I can at least get a little bit bigger screen. Makes it better for watching movies and stuff. And it is about all the highest you can push 1440p with, but it's nice to have the extra space.
Cool. Well, when we come back, we'll delve into the hybrid PC concept that I want to introduce to you.
Ooh.
We'll be back in a moment. Hello, everyone. John, KX4O here to tell you about my radio blog. If you are an amateur radio operator and want to find ways to improve your antennas to make the most of your hobby, I invite you to visit my blog, www.hamradio.me, for a large assortment of articles about antennas, electromagnetics, and other information of use to the active ham. Again, that's www.hamradio.me. Okay, we're back with Logan Huggins. He was telling us all about how gaming computers have helped me and others have computers that are very good for office work, video work, and other advancements.
That's me. I'm still here. I haven't run away yet.
The gaming computer world has really pushed hard on certain aspects that all can benefit from. So, I guess I consider my PC a hybrid because it was designed by a gamer for a guy who does CAD work and video editing work. There used to be, I guess, more of a separation there, but now it's all just fast PCs, perhaps with a video card difference. If you were designing a PC for me again, would it be anything you would do differently? Say if we added a little more money to the pile. The current cost on this one was about $2,100, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be the next upgrade path, if and when I should ever do that?
Whenever you start to, I mean, I personally am a proponent of frugality when it comes to stuff like that. I mean, I don't, if you find yourself being limited when you're trying to do your CAD or your streaming or whatever, if you start to see throttling, then sure, upgrade then. But as long as everything's going the way you need it to, I don't see any reason to throw money around, right?
Yeah, I think I've seen a few times when the video streaming gets a little hinky. But it's very rare and it isn't a problem, but I did notice it.
You could always put a dedicated capture card in there if you wanted to.
Yeah, I think we have one in there. Well, no, that's for old style video formats.
Right. You have a converter in there, mm-hmm. But you could put an actual dedicated capture card to handle that streaming portion.
Now, I know that GPUs are all the rage. I know in the scientific community where I come from, certainly they're used for hardcore DSP processing of whatever. Some of the antenna simulation programs I use will make use of them if they find them. I've always wondered, though, I think OBS Studio can make use of them as well, and I guess it's pretty seamless how they work. But I'm always curious, when you have a situation like that and you have a GPU that really is a great addition to the computer, and you use it, are you degrading something else while it's being used? The GPU, if it's being task for something else, does it sacrifice video performance or what? How does that work?
Nope, there's no real problem. And actually, it's going the other direction. Here, I would say in the next 5 to 10 years, the graphics cards, if you will, video processors, graphics processing units, will take the place of dedicated processors as well. It'll just be one thing.
It'll replace CPUs, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because, and like I said before at the beginning of this thing, I am a tradesman and a wrench turner. I can tell you why, I can't necessarily tell you how. I'm not in the that deep into the science of how all this stuff goes together, but all this new machine learning and AI and all this stuff that's getting pushed out, right? Yeah. Those are heavy, heavy, heavy processing load on the hosts. Those are video processors made by NVIDIA doing that.
Right. I know over the years you've laughed at me for getting a MacBook Pro. I'm on my second one now. The first one lasted 10 years. The battery was ultimately the problem. I did replace the battery using iFixit components, and I'm successful in that, except now the PC is forever busy doing some processing, which I don't understand, so I need a tool for my general purpose needs, and I got another MacBook Pro for that. Not for video streaming or anything. I basically got the lowest speed version I could get just for bill paying and things like this, like that. And the number one thing that always appealed to me on going from a 10-year-old MacBook Pro to the new one, was the I.O., the interface, was exactly the same. The keyboard's exactly the same, so I was able to use it very, very well. The mouse pad's a little larger, but more or less is the same way it operates. And that's key. Consistency of the interface was key for me. I bought other laptops, HPs, Asus. And they all have their benefits. They're ones like really small that we use for portable use. But the keyboards, they're all these multifunction capabilities. And sometimes you do a keystroke or two and you get the keypad into a different mode and you can't get it out of it. And now you can't use the computer until you figure that out. It's just constantly these tricky things that get in your way of productivity.
Well, that's more of a Windows problem than it is a laptop problem. But
I guess.
Yes, I understand.
And I guess that is the case. But this particular problem is unique to the Asus. It's actually a driver. It seems to be built into how they do their keyboard. Like the mouse pad, if you touch it a certain way, it turns into the keypad. And to get it out of that, you got to remember how to do that, or you can't use it as a mouse anymore. It's that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I've never had an Asus computer, so I'm not up to speed on that. But I don't buy Apple products either, so.
Yes, I noticed, and I'm sure you laugh at me when I spend my money on this, although I will say I get...
So, my issue with Apple doesn't really come from the quality of the products. I mean, iPhones are good phones, right? But it's the...
They better be for the price.
Yeah, right. As far as their computers and stuff, it's really just the whole right to repair movement and all that stuff going on that's a problem for me.
The iFixit thing that I applied was, I guess, well, they have a whole thing on their website about that very topic. So,
although I will say one thing about having a problem with their products, I do remember distinctly opening up a MacBook Air one time and finding that the fan did not actually cool anything; it was just spinning. It's just a spinning noisemaker in there.
Yeah, my 2014 Ventures one, it had to be doing something because it was warm air blowing out of it. So, I mean, that's work being done to cool something. But, yeah, so sometimes fans are just there for show, huh?
Yeah, but really the big thing is the right to repair and all that, because we're standing on a precipice these days of not actually owning anything.
Yes, I've heard this.
We have with the tractor situation with John Deere and laptops with Apple, and they're by no means the only issues with this, but...
Well, I've heard the same thing between the Win 7, Win 10 crowd and the Windows 11 crowd. Some people are saying Windows 11 is angling towards, we own you.
Windows 11 is hot garbage.
And I, of course, put that on my PC because I didn't want to have any issues with the incompatibility of the software I need to run. You know, I just wanted it to be permanent. So what's wrong with Windows 11?
Well, beyond the constant pop-ups that Microsoft seems to love these years.
I've seen those, yes.
There's a whole bunch of security stuff in the background that I don't personally think needs to be there.
Like Windows Defender?
Yeah. There's just a lot of bloat these days that goes on in the background, especially with Edge. Like their new browser, which nobody uses, of course, because it's terrible. But
I don't use it. I agree with that.
I'm sure you understand this too. It was a sad day when the last Windows 7 machine you used went offline, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was very happy with that. And it ran for, gosh, it was at least 8-year runtime, I think, for that particular flavor of OS.
Yeah, we were spoiled. We were fortunate to live in the golden years. I don't know if we're ever going to see something like that again, unless Linux starts becoming more mainstream and we start to get, you know, like privatized browsers.
Okay, so what would you recommend to people who want to build up a nice flaming hot PC Windows version and they just need it to work for their office needs, or like me, Office plus video editing? I mean, is there any other choice but to go to Windows 11, because that's kind of your pigeonholed into that, are you not?
It is. It's an unfortunate dichotomy.
Okay.
And we noticed that, yeah, it's just been a mess ever since Windows 8 came out. because we all remember that Windows 8 was so bad, they forgot that the number 9 existed and went straight to 10.
Yeah, we all noticed that, and we've also remembered the adage from Microsoft. He said, Windows 10, that's going to be the last version. It'll just be fixes from here on in, and they didn't keep that promise.
Yeah, well, when they can't count, there's not a whole lot of other hope to be had. And then, because we look on the other side of Microsoft and their Xbox and how they're naming that, it's insane.
What is it? Tell us about that.
We went from Xbox to the Xbox 360 to the Xbox One to the Xbox One X, Xbox Series X, and Xbox Series One S.
How logical.
But meanwhile, we can say what we want about Sony, but at least they do 1 through 5 with PlayStation. I want to know how many times over this year, like, kids were asking for an Xbox something, and then, you know, it's just some grandparent that has no idea what they're looking for. Right. They're like, what the hell do I buy?
Yeah, right. I can imagine that. You wind up with a Game Boy.
Right. I mean, even I, like, even I have to check it these days, and I'm around this stuff all the time. Like, what version is this? Sorry to get off topic with my frustrations that are not related.
That's why I'm interviewing you. Last thing, keyboards. I bought a new keyboard for my new PC, and I love it. It's from Cherry, and I've suddenly got thrust into the realm of color-coded key click something or other. Can you please tell us about reds and browns and what have you?
Yeah, so my dad sends me a text one night, right, and he's like, I'm shopping for keyboards. What the hell do all these colors mean? Mm-hmm. Which is fair enough. But, yeah, I mean, basically, it's a part of the industry that's ended up with a lot of customer choice. Some may argue more than necessary, but there's plenty of wiggle room in typing, and a lot of people are typing all day, so you want it to be comfortable and feel nice. So Cherry specifically makes different types of key switches. Maybe you want a little bit higher activation force. Maybe you want your keys to be silent. Maybe you want them to audibly click. These are all options. You can swap them out, but I mean, you should probably just go ahead and buy a keyboard that has the ones you want already. But that's where the color coding comes from.
So basically, you know, the learning process for the uninitiated, they have to go research what the colors mean.
Yep.
And you think you're just buying a keyboard.
Correct.
And of course, some keyboards you can pay probably $10 for, and of course, they're not that great. But
well, and of course, we're talking about mechanical keyboards, right, at this point, because the membrane boards that you get for $10 or $20, they're just, that's not related to this.
Right. Yeah, so I spent, I guess, $99 on that. I had it in the Amazon cart, and I actually ordered it with either the red or brown, I can't remember which now, and then I consulted you with that email you just mentioned, and I quickly changed my mind, and I went and canceled the order at Amazon and refilled it with the appropriate one. And
I think you did end up going with browns because you wanted a little bit of tactile, right?
Yeah, I do like that. And it's really nice. It is rather loud, but that's okay. But yeah, I mean, I was rather lambasted on the fact that yet another thing I didn't know about was being thrown in my face about just simple keyboards.
Well, just to give a quick rundown, the basic two things that you're deciding when you're getting a key switch is, do you want tactile feedback, which is you actually have to apply force to activate the key click. B, do you want it to audibly click when you do it? And it basically just adds another piece of metal in there that snaps and makes a clicking noise. So you've got green and blue, which are audible click with and without activation force. Brown and clear, which are no click, higher and lower activation force. And reds are going to be your neither, just a smooth activation all the way down.
Okay, well, I appreciate your time for this. Any last minute advice for folks in 5 seconds?
Don't buy graphics cards every year.
Okay, thank you, Logan.
Have a good one.
Transmitter 42.